Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Welcome everyone. My name is Sean, and today we're going to talk about this recent drop of the trailer of the X-Men 97 series, as well as all of the information that is coming out around it, because Disney's going to Disney, and this is no exception, and the series that was promised to be a sequel, a conclusion, the final chapter, the show that would have come out in 1997 appears to be anything but, and a lot of people are mad about it, even though I think that there is a deeper issue here that we should actually talk about, and that's what I want to talk about. But before we do, I want to say thank you to everybody who signed up on actualjusticewarrior.com/join.
Give me the money. Give me the money. Okay.
And thank you to the podcast listeners, Spotify, Apple, and Google's podcasting platform. So X-Men 97 was promised initially as the conclusion to the 1990s X-Men series, which is widely considered to be one of the most faithful adaptations of the comic books of all time. They did so many stories, such great justice, like the Phoenix arc. And considering we've seen movie after movie butcher the Phoenix arc, it is something that is held in even higher regard from the people who grew up watching it as a kid, and I am one of those kids who grew up watching it. That being said, while I do have a love for the original series, and obviously, like many 1990s shows, it absolutely has a banger for an opening theme, I'm not somebody who rewatches this series because I feel like the dialogue is incredibly clunky. It's almost too much of an adaptation of the comic books because the way people speak is completely unnatural. So even though I have love for it, even though I loved it as a kid, it's not like the same way that I feel about Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Justice League, and Justice League Unlimited, as well as Batman Beyond, where I can watch it as an adult, and I love it just as much, if not more, as an adult. Now, this is why I personally was not interested in X-Men 97 as a premise, and I wasn't invested nor following it up until this point, because for me, the show ended back when it ended. I loved it back when I loved it, and I'm ready to let it go. I'm ready to leave it in the past. And this is what I think the broader problem is for our society. And I'm going to talk about, for sure, all of the changes, the wokeification of this 90s series, the updates for modern audiences, and all that. But I think fundamentally, the major problem that people need to get over is this need to be stuck in the past. I think nostalgia has become the poison of the masses. And I think in my generation, or the generation that followed me, one of the big culprits of this is social media. Things like Facebook that allow you to maintain connections over the internet when you move out of your town or whatever, and never ever let go of the past. And that is reflected in our entertainment, in that we constantly see sequels to older shows, older movies, and all that. And I think fundamentally, even beyond the problems of this X-Men 97 series, that's actually a huge problem in our society because we can never progress forward. And I think it would have been much better if they just produced a new X-Men series, a la X-Men Evolution or Wolverine and the X-Men, rather than living to this past.
Watch the series finale of X-Men next Saturday morning. Check your local listings.
I'm grateful to have the chance to say goodbye.
I am proud of you all, my X-Men.
Fate lies in our hands now.
Again, as somebody who loves the Bruce Timm DC animated universe and will rewatch episodes from time to time when I want to revisit it, if there was something put out in that universe before Kevin Conroy passed away, the voice of Batman, I wouldn't be all that interested in it for the same reasons, not to mention that obviously they're going to do the modern wokeification of these characters because that's what they always do. And the fact of the matter is, at this point in time, you should just be ready for it whenever they announce a new retelling of the series. So what is going on with this current X-Men series, X-Men 97, that sets it apart from the X-Men 90 series? Now, while people will always point out that X-Men is a allegory for discrimination, initially racial discrimination, and then over time they started working in the gay stuff back in the 1990s, even though they had things like the Legacy Virus, which I believe is an allegory for AIDS, and they had stuff like that in the comics, nobody was talking about non-binaries or the transes or anything like that, yet they decided to change Morph, not only in appearance to his changeling appearance from the comics, but they also wanted to make him a non-binary, a they, them, and they're very proud of this because this is an update for modern audiences. Now, I know some people are going to say, look, X-Men is always woke, X-Men has always represented all these different causes and whatnot, but the thing is, this is supposed to be the next season, allegedly, of that X-Men 90 series, and Morph was very much a guy in that 90 series with shape-shifting abilities. He was not a non-binary. That was not a thing back then. That trend was not what was popping, so updating him in this way is ridiculous and absurd. On top of that, I also noticed that a lot of the actors came back to reprise their roles, and people have been marking Wolverine's voice in particular as distinctly different.
We get this done by working together as a team.
Jeez, Bob, keep buzzing in my ear.
And that's because it's been 30 years, and your voice changes over 30 years, so maybe it wasn't the best idea to drag all these people out of retirement in order to reprise their roles, even though, again, they're trying to poison you with nostalgia. That's why they did it. However, there's another modern sensibility that you need to incorporate in that, because although they brought back a bunch of these different voice actors, it turns out the voice actor for Jubilee was white in the original series, because back in the 1990s, we didn't believe that you needed to match the race of the character that you were voicing, unless of course you're white, then you can be voiced by anyone. So the actress decided that she would not reprise her role rather than get canceled on the internet.com. So you have half this nostalgia where you're dragging out these older actors to come reprise their roles, but at the same time, simultaneously, you're booting one of the actresses that voiced Jubilee, who, by the way, was made extraordinarily popular by this series due to the fact that she doesn't line up with modern sensibilities. And by the way, these changes are even more prominent than that. Now, a lot of people were excited for this trailer, and I will say there's a moment in there where Gambit uses his like explosive energy supercharge thing on Wolverine's claws, which I would think would blow up his entire skeleton, but whatever, we're not focusing on that because it looks really cool. But the thing is, the animation in this particular series is not the same as the animation back in the 90s. It's not really the same style. It looks like a fan fiction Flash animation version of it.
To me, my X-Men.
It looks cheaper, and considering that Disney is a multi-billion dollar corporation, they delayed production of this for 2 additional years just to get it right. Wink, wink, to find out how many more chicks that they could put in it and how much gayer they could make it. In reality, it just seems like it's not very great. It seems like it's low quality, a low quality representation of our past, despite the fact that you have all of this modern technology to not only recreate the animation of old, but make the animation even better, give it more detail, more of a look. But the characters have been flattened out in this animation, and that flattening out actually goes into the designs, which have been changed, and not just changeling from Morph, but we also see the females that have been altered dramatically, and most inexcusably, we're talking about Rogue. Now, as you can see by the still, Rogue has been desexualized, defeminized, which again is another thing that is due to modernization. People felt like her character, she looked ridiculous. That's not a realistic type of body. How dare you have that? So they decided to make the change, and they've explicitly said this is due to the fact that they wanted to desexualize the character. And the thing is, this is pernicious in two ways. One, This is supposed to be, again, the following season in that original X-Men series, yet they're kind of rewriting history right here in a Stalin-esque way by redesigning the characters, and two, and this is most importantly, it actually damages their ability to tell the story, and it damages the character. Not only did they flatten out Rogue physically, but that was actually an important aspect to her character that they're also flattening out as well. You see, one of the beauties of animation is that it's not designed to be realistic. All those idiots who say, oh, this is what Disney princesses look like in real life, and they make them fatter, and they change up how their facial structure looks, they reduce the size of their eyes, are actually telling you that they have no idea what the purpose or what you can do with animation, because the whole point of animation is that you could tell the story through the animation. So you have a character like Rogue.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
You got something to say to me, Cher?
What if I'd been lying about not being able to touch another human being? What if I could, if I wanted to?
What's this supposed to mean to me?
Come up to the rec room in 5 minutes and I'll show you.
Who you could have described as flirty and over-sexualized back in the 90s series, but only if you were a complete idiot and you were only looking at this in the most superficial way. Because we know that Rogue's power comes from her making human-to-human contact with people. She drains their life force, will copy their mutant abilities, and this could result in her potentially killing those people, not to mention the mental side effects of absorbing people's memories.
Look like I keep you waiting too long. Or maybe you just want me to wake you up with a kiss.
What in the world?
So Rogue is somebody who can't have human contact, somebody who avoids human contact, yet she desperately wants it. That duality, that contrast between her character, how she presents herself, how fit she is, and all that, and her powers is a crucial, intricate part of her character in this particular series. And remember, they're trying to make, or they're claiming they're trying to make, the next season in that series, yet they're changing it up, they're nerfing her appearance, which again actually cuts against the character. This is part of her characterization, but you can't have that because modern audiences would complain that this unrealistic superpowered character is unrealistic. Now look, you can say and you can make the argument that hey, there's different versions of these characters. Anna Paquin's Rogue is in no way, shape, or form the Rogue of the 1990s. So, you know, it's just a different interpretation. But the problem is that this is not a new series. This is masquerading as, again, the next season in that series. So yeah, you are stripping something away from that character because you're claiming that is the same character. That is what you're arguing. That is how you're selling this, and you're selling it based on a lie. You're not doing a throwback series. What you're actually doing is taking the branding of that while you're trying to, in a very Stalinistic way, rewrite history. Now, I'm going to say something controversial that many people on my right-wing audience probably wouldn't like. And probably it's the second most controversial thing other than the fact that I don't revisit the 90s X-Men series and I don't think it holds up because the dialogue is so clunky from that series. And that is the fact that the allegory for racism actually doesn't work that well. I mean, I get it's a broader allegory for civil rights and it's not really one-to-one, but other than the character of Beast, who is an animalistic-like character, but he's actually a genius, this really doesn't sell. And the reason it works for Beast is because people often portray other races or other groups as more animalistic, as dehumanized and whatnot. And having that contrast, much in the same way that I talked about the contrast in Rogue of Beast being animalistic on the outside in appearance, where you would prejudge him, prejudice, and then having him be a Shakespeare quoting scientist on the inside, the characters really don't fit in terms of a racial civil rights struggle because most of the characters characters look human, they can hide their identity in a way that black people could not do in the 1960s, because guess what? They are in fact black, or they have dark skin. You can see that right when you meet them. So that analogy or that allegory didn't really fit that well for X-Men from the jump. Now, by the way, this was partially intentionally. Back in the 60s, they wanted the cast to be white, experiencing discrimination, so that the reader, which was largely white, could empathize with them. So that was intentionally then. Don't think I'm not aware of that. But the thing is, with all of these human-presenting people that have powers that they're keeping hidden until they later reveal themselves, I actually think it does make a better analogy or a better allegory. I don't know why I keep flipping those words. For the gays, if I'm being perfectly honest, if I'm being perfectly fair. So I know some people out there are going to say X-Men was always about anti-discrimination and blah, 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 and it only makes sense to incorporate the gays into it. And I actually think one-to-one, it fits better for the gays. However, while I acknowledge that this allegory could fit better for the gays in a lot of ways, because you have that aspect of being in the closet and whatnot. And by the way, the Fox X-Men movies leaned into this heavily. I think in every one of these movies, they had obnoxious references to the gays. It's better that you keep the analogy to generalize bigotry, generalize discrimination, because the one thing about the mutants that's not really true of the gays and not really true of racial minorities is that they're insanely over the top dangerous, not higher rates of violent crime dangerous. We're talking end of the world apocalyptic dangerous, to the point where if we actually lived in the real world where these people would end up randomly with these powers and they could wipe out tens of millions of people depending on their scale, it actually might be sensible for us to figure out some kind of solution to keep these people under control. And the fact that they could pop up all over the world, meaning that if we lived in a world with mutants, somebody could pop up in one of these terrorist-ridden countries and then try to destroy the United States of America or that country, they would destabilize governments, they would be used as weapons as governments. It's a lot of problems, if we're being perfectly honest, in this idea that don't really fit either group or either discrimination or any kind of discrimination that we've seen throughout world history. So yeah, while I do acknowledge that it's not a great one-to-one racial analogy, even though it was meant to parallel the civil rights struggle, and it might actually work better in a lot of respects for the gays, in reality, vaguing it up as much as possible, making it about generalized discrimination as much as possible, and not these real-world things, suits the source material better. I know this sounds crazy to the modern left, but maybe, just maybe, your audience who were children back in the 90s and who are now in their late 20s to early 30s can be trusted to make the connections on their own. Maybe your allegory could be more subtle, not less subtle than the 90s series for children, considering you're trying to reel in the older adults. Because fundamentally, aside from the allegory, what the X-Men are actually about is, are these mutants, are the X-Men good enough to not only protect the humans that love them, that support them, but also protect the people that hate them as well? Because Magneto and all these various villains that have an axe to grind against humanity, the ones that are non-human, they are real legitimate threats to these people, and the X-Men often have to defend them, and they have to defend them even when they're not going to get any discernible reward, respect, or credit for doing so. Which, by the way, is something that in today, our modern society would look down upon. I mean, just think about the way our society promotes the active hatred of white people. They have been dehumanized so much in our society that when a white woman cries, rather than that being viewed as an expression of emotion or as some kind of maybe fake crying or whatever, it is considered an attack on minorities. So if a white woman has an emotional reaction, and oftentimes these cases, despite the reporting, are 100% justified, that is considered the crime in that situation. That gets you ridiculed and hated for decades. There's no societal pressure at all within minority communities, specifically within black communities, to have sympathy, to acknowledge the humanity of a person in that situation. It's all dehumanizing hatred, and again, pretending that that person, that woman who's crying due to the fact that she's being attacked or whatever, like in many of these situations, and a normal human response would be to cry, is just to say that their tears are a weapon and more proof of their guilt. Them even having emotions makes them a threat. So the real reason we're never going to have a throwback to 1990s style X-Men is because we don't have the values of the 1990s X-Men series. Again, are the mutants, are the X-Men good enough to protect humanity, even the parts of humanity that hate them, is a core thing that goes all the way back to the 60s, but that is something that we've completely rejected in our society in favor of promoting discrimination and hatred against those people. You'll see a lot of essays out there where people will say, why is Magneto even depicted as a villain in X-Men? He's 100% right about everything, even though throughout the various X-Men movies that they cite as examples, Magneto has tried to wipe out all of humanity at least three times. That's right, the modern woke left, the modern progressives, endorse a genocide as long as that genocide is against who they believe to be privileged, and that's why fundamentally the series was destined to fail from the jump. But hey, those are just my thoughts. Let me know your thoughts down in the comments below. If you like the video, show them by leaving a like. Subscribe for more content. Follow me on my social media. Support me via the support links in the description of this video. This has been me talking about X-Men 97. Till next time.